in the book of Genesis, chapter 21. We'll go to the 16th verse. A revival is as only as good as a church will allow it to be. Amen. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, the only way that I can be stirred in a revival is if I allow myself to be open to what God would want to pour into my spirit. If I close myself up and shut the vault and say, I have nothing to do with this, I have nothing to do with what you have to say tonight, how can I grow? Where is my reviving? Amen? I have to be open to understand that God has things for me in my life that I need to change. There's things for me in my life that allow me to grow, to be revived. I'm not perfect. God has to show me things that I need to change. Right? Amen? Can somebody relate with me tonight? We're not perfect. We got to come to a place in our life where we get stale and it seems like the same old thing and we say, God, I need you to take me to a deeper place. God, I need you to take me to a place where I can be refreshed, where I can be renewed, where your word begins to stir me once more, where it becomes something that is of life to me and not something that is just words on the page, that it's something that reminds me of who you are to me. That it's not something that I throw to the side each and every day of my life. Hallelujah. We are in need of revival more than just one week at a time. But I hope that this week reminds us of why it's important to do it all the time. I hope that something this week gets a hold of you and doesn't let go of you. That it gets a hold of you and reminds you how important that it is that your walk with God be stable. How important that it is that your salvation be established. Praise God. 21st chapter, 16th verse. Let's read this. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. Now let's halt right there. Now before we read on, to give some background on this, Sarah had went to Abraham and had saw Hagar and her child and had told Abraham, in other words, they have to go. To further this, Abraham was grieved in his spirit because of what he was told. He didn't want to do this, but God spoke to him and said, hearken unto the words that were spoken to you. In other words, to think it not strange of what was spoken, and even though you might feel strange about it, do what was spoken to you. So she's at the place now, where we're reading at now. She had some water, and the water was spent in the bottle, verse 15, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And when I began to read this, it began to put me in the mind of the church. But I want us to think about the mother church tonight. I want us to get on the bigger things tonight. All right? The water was done spin out, and when it came right down to it, she had to do something with the child because she had already been cast out. It was just her and the child. And she put that child in the shrubs. Didn't know what else to do. And sometimes we get in situations and we don't know what else to do, and we do all that we can. And if you begin to read on in this, it says, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. And rise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Because if you read in verse 16, and she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. Done all she know to do and just began to cry out and weep. And when I consider a mother's love doing all that she knows to do, had nothing left. Put the child where she knew that where she could. Unbearable. And sometimes our trials of life are going to feel that way. But if we can begin to learn to weep to God, we can begin to learn to listen to what God has to say to us. Because it had been very easy to not listen. The outcome could have been very different. And it's in the churches of today that we come in and we go out, we come in and we go out, come in and we go out. We hear God's voice that wants us to hearken, wants us to begin to change, and we refuse to do that. And we'll go out and we'll weep and we'll weep and we'll weep in our sorrows. And God has provided a way out for us, and all that we have to do is begin to come. And us as a mother church has to have the love to do all that we know to do. Gotta have a compassion to reach out and give our last bottle of water to somebody that's thirsty. People are in need of being revived. But why would they ever be revived if we don't have anything to offer them? I come to you tonight offering something that is of worth. I don't come to you offering you death tonight, for God through me, and all things are possible. I don't come to you offering the money in my wallet. What good would that do you if I gave you the money in my wallet? It's not that much. It's not that much. If we put all the money that we had in here tonight to try to help somebody's financial burdens, we'd only be able to help one person. But God knows. He sees. And He can take care of everyone. Greater than what we could ever do on our own. Greater than what we could ever accomplish for ourselves. Do you understand where I'm coming from? It's one thing for my mother to try to do everything that she knows to do, but eventually her resources and all that she has will eventually run out, and she'll have to eventually tell me, Jared, I've got nothing left to give you. And we as the body of Christ, without the Spirit of God in us, following the leadership of the Spirit, stepping out and doing what God would have us to do, we'll eventually get to a place where we'll come in and say, well, we've got nothing that we can do because we've got nothing to offer them. Try and go visit places. Go ahead and try it. Go places. Their water bottles are down to the bottom and they're just hiding people in the shrubs hoping that nothing happens. And God has made the provision that we can stand up and be bold. Come to the throne room and believe God for something greater. We have a power from on high, and I believe in that power. Half the time, I don't think that we do because we're afraid. We're afraid. We're fearful. I'm afraid all the time. I'm human. I don't know what tomorrow holds sometimes. There's plenty of things that I look at in my life, and I do not know the given outcome for the following day. I don't understand where it's going to come from. I don't know how it's going to take place. I don't know how their lives are going to be changed. If I tried to figure it all out and put it all together and have a plan for them and tried to execute it all that I knew to do, I would still fail. My love will only go so far. And us as a church, our fleshly love and what we think is best without the leadership of God will only go so far. My compassion will run out. My love for others will run out. My fellowship will run out. My desire to want to come in and worship will run out. My desire to want to pray and read the Word of God will begin to run out. Everything inside of me will begin to die out without the Spirit of God. It's the only life in me that can be the life force that stirs my heart. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water made a way when there wasn't a way. Church, you got to help me tonight. Made a way where there wasn't any way. I don't know if anybody else has ever been in a place where there wasn't a way and that God made a way for you. But I can speak beyond all doubt of my life that God has made many ways where there was no way. And I'm supposed to testify to that. And when I don't have a testimony, I'm supposed to get up and praise God for it. When I don't feel like it, I'm supposed to have a song in my heart and sing to Him. For He's worthy. I'm not going to always feel like saying that God delivered me from drugs every single service. That's why He gave me a new song that I might sing to Him and honor Him for what He's brought me through in my life. He is worthy of all praise. And the praises of God's people are running thin. And God's calling. The angels of God come by are calling. Saying, where art thou? Looking for the people of God to rise up with a little more boldness, a little more praise in the church. But we're afraid. I know you understand where I'm coming from. We're afraid to get up. I don't want any more on me in my life. So if I don't do any more, I won't get any more. You understand that the trials of life are not going to slow down. The weight of the world is only going to get heavier. And only through God are you able to conquer what is ahead of you. We have it so easy. We have it so convenient. I don't know what it's going to take for us to get to a place where God's anointing will be enough. I don't know what it's going to take for us to come in and realize how important that it is to come in and worship God.
I realize now in my life that my worship to God is my direct connection. When I reach out to Him and praise Him, it is a death to me. When I let God be glorified in my life, I'm not glorified in all the victories in my life. He is glorified when I overcome in this world. He is glorified when I come through in victory through faith. He'll make a well for you when you run dry. If you're in a place at a church where it's dry and barren land, God will show you where the well is. You better get scooting. Praise God. He would never have you trying to draw water out of the desert. He'll always make a way. And if you feel like you're with a pickaxe digging on dry ground, you better relocate. Better seek God about where you can be in a place where the Spirit of God is flowing, that you can be free. We better be in a place where the Spirit of God is freeing us. We'll be held accountable. We'll get in trouble, church, if we don't get this in order. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. That's pretty neat. And he grew all the days of his life and became something. God did not forsake the lad. God will not forsake you in your time of need. Will He? If we remember who He is to us, if we remember who it is that we're calling out on, our prayers would bear a lot more meaning than they do. They wouldn't just be a dried up 15 to 30 second continual repeating thing. It would mean something to me when I fell down to my knees and said, God, I need you to reach out to my loved ones. Just like when a mother calls out for her children when they're lost. I'm beginning to understand and realize the burden and what it feels like to care about everybody in a church. I didn't feel that when I first came here, but I sure do now. The love that you carry for all those that are around you. The concern that you have, that you'd hide somebody else under the bushel so that they could be saved. That love should be there. And I wish that I could give you an excuse that's good enough to say that you don't have to have that love and you can get by. But you've got to have it. The love of God should be there. Charity should be there. Charity will get you up in the middle of a service when nobody else is moving. It'll get you worshiping God when nobody else wants to. Why? Because you're concerned. You don't want popularity. You don't want fame and fortune. You're concerned about their need, not concerned about how many hands go up when you sing. You're concerned about the need. It's not about who and what, when, and where. It's about the need. I don't know if I'm getting this across the way that's on my heart, but I know everybody understands the frustration that I feel in my flesh sometimes. I feel like that when a trial comes and nobody calls me, I feel like I'm so forsaken and nobody cares. Come on now. I think that people should have a little more love and compassion to call me. Uh-oh. Are we getting real? Oh yeah, we're going there now. I think I've been so forsaken because those that I would call my friends, call my family and my loved ones, think that they should see my problems. But I'm so busy putting on a front in front of them, they wouldn't even know the difference. Come on now, church. We got to stop putting on fronts. Because you see, God sees through our fronts. He sees through all of that. And you are not forsaken to Him. Everybody in this room might forget you. God still sees. God still knows. He still understands. God was compassionate to Hagar even in the wilderness when nobody else was caring. Abraham was grieved to care, but then instructed not to. So pretty much left alone. How many of us lately have felt alone? The enemy wants us to feel alone. He does. Nobody wants to talk about the things that are real because nobody wants to change the things that are real. Nobody wants to address the fact that when we are emotionally affected, that it hinders our obedience. Nobody wants to address that. I'm willing to go against what the enemy's trying to affect in this day and time. I'm willing to step up and say that we've got to get out of that emotional afflictions. Stand up and rebuke the things that would come against you. You're crazy, Jared. I know. I'm crazy for the cause.
I'll be persecuted, I know. Exodus chapter 2. Get with me now. Verse 2. We're talking about Moses' mother now. We're going to talk about a few mothers tonight. If you've never read these before, I hope you like this. Talking about Moses' mother. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months. That speaks a lot to me before I go any further. We're not willing to face any persecution for any obedience. So we do none. We don't sing because we want to help somebody for the benefit of the kingdom of God. We do just because it's another song. I hear the crickets chirping, and I love it. We do it. We stand up and testify because it's something that we're comfortable with. Not willing to get out in the deeper things that God has called us to do. Because we don't want to face any more than what we're dealing with. Let me tell you, the journey gets sweeter and sweeter. And the deeper you're willing to go to let God allow you to change, He'll show you things. And if you allow Him, you can grow. It's not a painful experience. It's just a simple give and take. You give God the things that He wants from you, and you can begin to take on a new creature. Begin to take on something that you weren't before you gave that up. You see, when I was addicted to drugs, I was wretched. I was vile. I was captive. And God wanted me to give that to Him. And I gave it to Him, and I took on deliverance. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But then other things in my life that's came by my way, I've had to give up going out as much as I like to. Going to places that I like to go. Oh no, Jared. Oh no. Had to give up TV shows I used to love. Had to give up music I used to love. Had to give up things I used to watch. Things I used to read. Had to give up all kinds of things in my life. But the journey, it gets sweeter. Because as God begins to refine your character, you become something that when people are in your presence, they can be drawn by the witness in you. How can I draw somebody by my witness if I listen to the same stuff they do? How can I be a witness to somebody if I'm watching the same stuff they are? We are no different. God separated us to be something different. Peculiar. It's peculiar that I separate myself in that way. Praise God. It's peculiar of me to step out and obey Him even though I'm going through so much in my life. Got to get a hold of that. I feel like that's going out to some tonight. You might be being pressed down to the ground, but God has given you the strength to get up from there. I feel the unction of that one. He's given you the strength to get up from there. You don't have to stay bound that way. You can get up from there. You can get up from there. You can get up from there. Praise God. I'm excited. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Don't you know that if it is appointed of God for you not to fall, that you're not going anywhere? You might feel like that you're going down the river and the water falls at the edge. But if it's not your time to fall, you're not going anywhere. You're in God's hands. Say, I'm in God's hands. Oh, you didn't. I was not persuaded by that at all. Let me hear it again. I'm in God's hands. You have to believe it. Remember where that you are. You're in the palm of His hand. He keeps you. Takes care of you. Praise God. He is your keeper. He is the rock upon which you stand. He is your refuge. He does not forget you. I can't get off of that. He does not forget you. I feel like some people in here felt forgotten tonight. But you are not forgotten. God has not forgotten you. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is the one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for me?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Not only got to come back to nurse the child, got wages paid to do it also. Just like we were saying, you might feel like you're giving up so much when you come up to God. And the Lord speaks to your heart and says, "Give a few things to me." Nobody ever preaches this anymore because nobody wants to tell anybody that you need to give up some things. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about laying down pornography. Nobody wants to talk about laying down listening to garbage that we call music today. Nobody wants to talk about getting on the computer and looking on online social networking that's taking over our world and our children. Nobody wants to talk about all those things, do they? I want to tell you that we have to come to God. Let Him begin to speak to us and show us things that need to begin to change. And as you lay them down, God will reward you justly for laying them down. How am I rewarded? Because your weights become lighter. You will walk lighter in your life. I used to feel so bound to so many things. But each thing that I laid down before God, it felt painful in the moment. But I feel so light now. I can stand in confidence. And the things I see other people with, I can look them in the eye, Rick. And I can tell them they don't have to live that way. They don't have to live addicted to drugs, because I know it's possible to quit by surrendering to Christ. People make it so hard. We make it so hard. But you know why it's hard? Because you don't want to let it go. You have to surrender that to God. And it's not the object that's hard. It's the desire of the object. That's the kicker. That's the one that I have to battle with. The desire is the one that unlocks you succumbing to temptation. The desire of lust is the one that draws the people of God away from the church. Come on, church, you got to help me tonight. Parents, I know this is a Mother's Day, but parents, we got to get our act together. We got to stand up for what is true. We've got to establish a line of what is permissible and what is not. And we've got to draw the line in the house of God also. We've got to establish what's important. Come on now. Don't leave me hanging now. We've got to establish what's important. You know why we do that? Because when you begin to draw the line, enemy recognizes that and can't come in those areas that we make permissible in the areas in God's house. I hear the crickets and I love it. I love it. I don't mind it. Because you see, it makes me realize everybody's listening, Gary. Everybody's hearing me tonight. The child grew, brought him unto Pharaoh. And just imagine all the deeds that Moses performed. Just think about that. You can keep on reading these things. Let's go to 2 Samuel. I'll move quicker. You have to forgive me if I don't pronounce these correctly. I tried to read up on this before I got here. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 6. I'll go ahead and start reading. Some background on this. Rizpah lost two of her sons and five that she was looking after. It's another mother. So we'll start reading in verse 6. "Let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai. And he delivered them unto the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together, and were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beasts of the field by night. Why in the world did you read all that to struggle with that? Because when I read that and read about this mother, how she suffered, didn't allow birds to get on it by day, didn't allow the beast to get on the sackcloth by night. Sackcloth was a representative to sorrow. So she was putting that sackcloth on the rock as a memorial, if you will. Putting that on that rock stirred David. If you keep reading on, you'll see the outcome of that. But that's not what I want to talk about. But she put that on there, suffered not the birds to get on it by day, didn't allow the beast to get on it by night. What does that tell me? Then I need to be more persistent to God when I'm in sorrow. I don't need to suffer anything to try to enter in to hinder me. Uh-oh. You know how powerful prayer is to you in your life? You know how powerful it is to you in your life? You want to pray with me right now? We'll get back to that in a second. And I just want you to realize the power of prayer. You see, I go through a lot of things in the day, and if I let that eat me up in my mind, I would not be able to stand and ever think that I could deliver anything to anybody. I can't suffer anything to try to hinder me as a minister. Every foul of the air, and I'm talking about spiritually now. Come on, church, get with me. I'm talking spiritually. Every hindrance that tries to get you by the day or by the night, when we're tired at night, aren't we? Can you imagine somebody out there with sackcloth on a rock in our modern days suffering no beast to get on that? They're crazy. Get off my rock. This is my area. Devil, get away from my house. This is my home. These are my children. This is my family. These are my loved ones. They will be healed. They will be well. They will be delivered. I will suffer no thing to enter in upon them. I will not be hindered. I will not be denied. I will stay up day in and day out. I will not give way to the enemy or to the devil. Persistence. Not letting up. Not giving up. And that's where we need to be at the church today. We need to lay down all our pride. And suffer not one thing to come in to hinder us. Praise the Lord. We need not suffer one hindrance that will try to come in and hinder us from coming in and taking our joy, taking our services from us, hindering everything that's trying to get in our way. It does not take 8 to 10 songs to stir anybody. Does not take somebody preaching 45 minutes to an hour to stir anybody. But glory to God. It just takes you making up your mind. Praise the Lord. Takes you making up your mind, surrendering your heart, and suffering not any hindrances standing in your way. Well, I don't know these people. They might think I'm peculiar. Oh, really? Well, that's what we're supposed to be, aren't we? And how can we bear witness to anybody? Let me rephrase that. They can't bear witness of me unless I have something that's witnessing to them. Praise the Lord. If it's this, and it's just a mundane sound, the Word of God talks about it being just a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. It might sound nice, but there's plenty of nice noises out there in the world. Are you with me now? But you've got to bear witness to some life that's inside of me. Something that you can be drawn by. That you know that it's not just in the piano. That you know that it's something greater. Whoa. Praise the Lord. Reading about that stirred me. Can you imagine the sorrow of seeing 7 children that you looked after, all going at the same time? I'm burdened every service I come in. Because I feel like we're losing people every service. We're losing them. We're losing them. We're losing them. Don't say that, Jared. Somebody's got to say it. We're losing them. Because we're not using the power and authority and the liberty of God's will to step out the way that God wants us to do. Well, I've always went to church and it's been 3 songs and shaking of hands and prayer requests and skipping down the street together and it being a form and a fashion. Well, I'm here to tell you it's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit more than a routine. There's got to be something that gets a hold of you. And it's either going to stir you and bless you or convict you, one of the two. It'll make you want to come forward to God or get out the door. Which way you feeling right now? I hope it's doing something. I hope that church, that we're doing enough that people feel that one way or another. Because we have services anymore where they don't feel anything. They can come in and not feel convicted of anything. I remember growing up when I came into church, nobody had to come back there and tell me, you're an addict. You need to change your life. They didn't have to tell me that, Linda. The Spirit of God let me know that He loved me, that I didn't have to live that way. That condemnation that I was feeling was just conviction, letting me know that there was better ahead of me if I was willing to come to God. And that's what I'm communicating tonight. I'm going another direction. If you want to know what the rest of it says, you can take my notes home. I feel like if I don't move now, we're going to lose some. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm here to tell you that if you feel the unction of the Spirit, that I'm not here to judge you. Nobody's here to judge anybody. You didn't see a sign on the door that said that you have to be of this stature, of this name, or had this much money to come in the door. Didn't say that, did it? All you have to do is come in. Surrender your life to God. Whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. Amen. Saved from what? Well, it can be different things at different times. There's been many times that He had to save me from depression. Come on, somebody. Help me praise the Lord for being saved from depression. I've been saved from an ailing body. Somebody help me praise the Lord for being saved from an ailing body. I need your help. Spirit's drawing right now. I need your help. The Lord has saved me from the very pits of hell. Let me find salvation. Praise God. I never have to feel the first flame. God save me. I'm free. Praise God, I'm free. Somebody help me praise the Lord for being free from sin.